Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Welcome all. Thank you for joining me on this eventful Sunday. I was originally planning on taking today off, but there's a lot of important breaking news taking place today that I wanted to get out to you, and a lot of important information that really highlights some of the manipulations going on today and really has a way of breaking through this propaganda around what's going on with the White Helmets and Syria and Israel for those that have the eyes to see what they're looking at and not trust what they're being misled about in regard to the mainstream media. But a lot of important stuff to go over today. So thank you for joining me, and let's just get right into it because there's a lot that I want to fly through so I can get back to enjoying my day off. So let's get right into the first story of the day. Breaking news, which I'm sure a lot of you have seen, and it's an important thing to cover. A lot of good outlets have been covering this so far, people like Vanessa Beely and Sirion Analysis, and it's something that really does kind of break through the BS in regard to this story and show you not just how we've been misled about this story, but how they're almost now in a weird way admitting some of the things they've tried to claim for so long are not the case, such as the fact that the White Helmets are a Western proxy in general. So the article is entitled, "White Helmets Rescued by Israel via Golan Heights in Overnight Operation," coming from ZeroHedge.com. Now, we recently discussed the point that the West was already discussing evacuating the White Helmets and what that really means, and why they would feel the need to evacuate a supposed Syrian civil defense group that was supposedly rescuing Syrian civilians, as Assad is being cheered by his populace for taking back his country from the extremists. Why a group that was supposedly helping those same people would need to be in fear for their lives is the question. And now we're seeing Israel step in and rescue, quote, the White Helmets and, you know, through the Golan Heights, the illegally occupied Golan Heights, and taking them from Syria. A lot of information involving in within this story, more than just as it may seem. So overnight, Saturday, Israel evacuated, as they claim, 800 White Helmet members and their families from southern Syria in an operation that took them briefly into Israeli territory and then on to Jordan, where they are expected to be resettled, apparently, as they claim, in Britain, Canada, and Germany, to the collective groan of everybody in all of those countries that are actually aware of what's going on. And this is according to officials in Amman. The Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, confirmed Israel's spearheading the move at the request of the United States and European governments, which you could argue whether that's the case or the other way around. Regardless, they're clearly both involved. The dead of the night operation comes a week after reports first surfaced that serious discussions were held on the matter during the July 11th and 12th NATO summit in Brussels. The IDF official Twitter account posted the following statement, quote, "Following an Israeli government directive and at the request of the United States and additional European countries, the IDF recently completed a humanitarian effort to rescue members of a Syrian civil organization and their families," end quote. The IDF further called the effort, quote, "an exceptional humanitarian gesture," and additionally confirmed that the White Helmets were transferred through Israel. The transfer began at 9:30 p.m. local time with a large convoy of buses exiting a frontier area on the Golan Heights toward Israel. Meanwhile, a number of journalists and analysts, excuse me, asked the obvious million-dollar question. Why evacuation specifically for just this group and its families? Why not other civilians that are supposedly in danger? They asked the question, what info do these White Helmets possess that they need to be evacuated in such a hurry? Very interesting to think about. Now, there's six excellent points Vanessa Beely also posted on her Patreon and discussed in a recent interview that I wanted to go over that I found to be very, very relevant. If you're unfamiliar with Vanessa Beely, I highly recommend you check out her work. In my opinion, she's probably the go-to information source for the White Helmets, as well as people like Eva Bartlett and Sirion Analysis, but her work is excellent, and she has really broken through the propaganda with some of the things she talks about. Now, first, she says, number one, out of the alleged 800 White Helmets who were given, quote, exceptional assistance by Israel, only 442 have actually arrived in the camps in Jordan. Apparently, Jordan has refused Syrian immigrants in general up until this point, but is making an exception for the White Helmets. Why is that? right? Consider that, so they're refusing Syrian refugees, but then they allow the white helmets. Clearly there's something more going on here. It's in general a proxy of these larger governmental organizations, which is something they've called a conspiracy theory up until now, and they're essentially verifying that that's the case by doing what they're doing now. Number two, she says, according to intelligence on the ground, reality is that more than 3,000 exceptional refugees have actually transited into Israel. 3,000, not just 800. And she says, does this mean that 2,500 were either Israeli affiliates and proxies who have been repatriated to Israel, EU special forces who will return home from Israel, or Gulf state intelligence and military entities who will also return home from Israel without needing to transfer to Jordan? Good question. Number four, she says, nationalities involved are said to be the UAE, Qatar, and Saudi. Most were not, in fact, Syrian. Number five, she says, these exceptional refugees would not accept amnesty and be evacuated to the north, as this would mean they would have to undergo inspection of their equipment and nationality, which would expose the regime change coalition states who were controlling them. And finally, number six, of the 442 who have arrived in Jordan, Germany has committed to taking 50. Canada has suggested it will take 250. She then asks, so how many will France and the UK take? Very interesting dynamic going on here, and how they're being evacuated, facilitated through Israel, the United States, and a lot of these Western powers. It really does show us the reality of what's going on with the White Helmets and what this really means about what kind of an organization they are, as they're fleeing for their lives from the very government they're supposed to be working with to protect these civilians. It's just very interesting, and always stemmed from the premise that Assad is just some maniac murdering, you know, killer murderer that's killing all of his people, which is verifiably not the case. So it's always based on this faulty circular logic of that he's a maniac, so we have to save the people from him, but he's currently saving all of them from the proxy armies of the West, one of them being the White Helmets. And as you can see from the image of this video today, which you can look at later, which I saw on the Syrian analysis video, which I'll also include in the show notes, that he talks about this specifically, we have more than enough information to very, very clearly show that at the very least, many of the White Helmets work directly with the extremist groups the United States pretends to be fighting. In the video, in the image I'm discussing, it shows a White Helmet waving the very flag of the Al-Qaeda group, standing next to a bunch of them. And we've all seen these images. This is no secret. The point is that people that are blinded by the mainstream propaganda are not confronted with this information and just reflexively think it's fake, despite it being very easy to verify. Very interesting. So make sure you check that out about the White Helmets and understand what's really going on there. I'll be sure and include some information, my interview with Vanessa Bealey, both of the ones I've had from her with the past, and talking about the White Helmets and what it really means and how they're connected to all of the past false flags, and potentially were involved in planning the one that was supposed to be happening. But it very clearly seems that Syria, rather Assad in Syria, the government, is taking back all of its land. So maybe that's putting a stick in the spokes of what they're trying to accomplish. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We should be keeping our eyes open to the whole story. Now, in a very related story, moving on to the next one, coming from ZeroHedge.com, and it's directly related, almost coming directly afterward, entitled Israeli Jets Strike Syrian Chemical Facility in Rare Daylight Attack. Very interesting to see that this is happening directly following this, with Israel's help evacuating them, and a blatant, open attack, which is essentially a violation of international law, but you won't hear that talked about on the mainstream media. So as we're already witnessing significant developments along the Syrian-Israeli Golan border, after the evacuation of hundreds of White Helmet members and their families by the IDF, Israeli jets have reportedly carried out a major airstrike on a Syrian government facility in northwest Syria in Hama province. Syrian state Sana News has confirmed that it's calling it an Israeli aggression near the city of Mazyaf, indicating the losses are only material, while early reports in both regional social media and in official Israeli media sources allege the site is a facility for the production and storage of chemical weapons. The Times of Israel reports that the targeted building is associated with Syria's well-known Scientific Studies and Research Center, also known as the SIRS, near Mazyaf. So that, in this regard, I would be very skeptical about anything Israel is claiming that they're trying to strike in regard to chemical weapons, especially since we have verified information from the OPCW in the past claiming that they have annihilated all of their chemical weapon stockpiles and means to create them. So that in itself, we should be skeptical of. Doesn't mean it's not true. But regardless, knowing that Israel, the United States, and all these people have actively made and used chemical weapons over the last however many years, doesn't make it okay for anybody else to do it, but it does make this an internationally illegal airstrike, an act of war. It's a war crime, however you want to look at it, but it won't get discussed. Arabic press journalist Elijah Magnier, from, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, I hope I'm not mispronouncing that, says that the attack is unusual in that it took place just before nightfall and not under the cover of darkness, as all attacks of the past few weeks and months have been. And I guess as of this moment, Israel has not yet commented on it, which they kind of tend to do in general and just kind of let it go ambiguous, knowing that the Western media will refuse to even discuss it. Reporting for the Middle East as well, he also said further notes that the Israeli jets once again fired from above neutral Lebanese airspace over the Bekaa Valley, unleashing a volley of 3 missiles. However, other sources say as many as 10 missiles may have been fired, which up to 6 striking the Syrian government complex, with others possibly intercepted by Syrian air defenses. The strike came just hours after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned Israel was continuously acting against Iran's military activities in Syria. And he said, quote, "We will not stop taking action in Syria against Iran's attempts to establish a military presence there." And as always, it's very important to understand that they have absolutely no authority to say who can and cannot be present in Syria's sovereign territory. They have no right to do so. So claiming that they're going to continue to illegally strike Syria and help support the illegal occupation of the U.S. as long as Iran has a presence there, regardless of the fact that Syria has allowed them to be there and acknowledged that they invited them in. It's an interesting dynamic that no one talks about in the mainstream media. Obviously, we know why that is. According to Syrian British journalist Danny Mackay, reporting from on the ground there, says, quote, "There is no Iranian or Hezbollah presence whatsoever in Masyaf. The Israeli airstrikes were directly on an official Syrian military facility." Big surprise. So all that understood, it basically comes down to the fact that Israel is using Iran as usual, just as they use Hamas with Palestinians as their cover excuse to do whatever they want, claiming that, oh, well, they're not listening, even though they have no right to claim that, and allowing Iran to be present, so we're going to continue to bomb them. But in reality, it's a direct attack on Syria, which is continuing forward with the same plan they've always been trying to accomplish, which is the overthrow of the Assad regime, the Assad government. I slip sometimes and say that because it's so commonly used. It's not, the regime is not the proper word to be used there. If anything, it should be the Israeli regime or the U.S. regime. Regardless, these kind of airstrikes are a huge, huge international violation, and nothing ever seems to happen. But of course, just like we saw recently with Palestine, if they continue to murder everybody and snipe down all the Palestinians, they turn around and shoot one time back, it's a huge deal, and they bomb Gaza and murder millions of people, and no one talks about it. It's just a ridiculous, hypocritic dynamic going on here. Regardless, this will not be investigated, and they're going to continue to strike against Syria as Assad's government continues to take back all the land they've been trying to illegally take from Syria's sovereign territory. Interesting topic. Make sure you dig into all of these and understand what's really going on here and spread the word. Moving on to the next story, coming from MiddleEastEye.com. And this is another one that is relates to something I've been touching on a lot lately in general about the previous countries of U.S. intervention, U.S. liberation, and what's currently going on there. Entitled, "Deadly Protests in Iraq Push Country to Brink of Revolution." Now, I touched on this in one of my longer videos, but I wanted to include this one and another one about Afghanistan today to reiterate this point. As the U.S. and with Israel and all the other people are continuing to try to take over Syria and then continue to demonize Iran for the same thing under the premise that they're somehow helping people. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in the previous countries that they supposedly helped people. So major protests took place across Iraq on Friday as anger continued to mount over power cuts, unemployment, and water shortages in the south, as well as the heavy-handed government response to demonstrations, which is exactly what they claim they're supposedly helping people to save people from in Syria. But this goes ignored because there's actually U.S. presence in Iraq right now as they control the entire country. So as their proxies murder protesters, that just doesn't get looked at. But they point something out that they create in somewhere in a place where they're trying to take over, and that becomes a big international scandal. Wildly hypocritical. Protesters attempted to gather in Baghdad's Tahrir Square, if I believe you pronounce it like that, as well as in public spaces across the country, as a mounting death toll and reports of arbitrary arrests by security forces and militias stoked resentment. At least 16 people have been killed and hundreds wounded and arrested since protests began less than 2 weeks ago over power cuts and high water salination. Some activists have put the death toll much higher, but repeated government shutdowns of internet have made documenting the violence difficult. Amnesty International quoted sources in Baghdad saying the protesters were being, quote, beaten and killed under the cover of the internet blackouts. So this is the result after all of these years of U.S. intervention. Much worse off than they ever were before, as things are completely, basically on the brink of revolution, as the title says, as they're murdering civilians for protesting, as they're shutting down internet to be able to carry out gross human rights violations. This is what the world is like under U.S. intervention, human interventionism, or human rights, you know, whatever they want to call it. Saving people from their evil government that they put in a much worse extremist government that they can then control and steal the resources from. This is what happens. And it's a horrifying concept to realize that these are the country, these are the people they liberated as they're struggling through a horrifying, you know, Libya, as always, is the best example because it's very obvious having an open slave trade, which they just disregard, is horrifying. But also in regard to the same story and another article, but a quick note, in Afghanistan, yet another suicide attack in Kabul airport leaves 14 dead and 60 wounded. As we recently talked about, Afghanistan is currently in a much worse situation than it ever has been. More civilian death than ever in the entire 17 years of the war in Afghanistan, the U.S. occupation, the annexation of Afghanistan for U.S. interests. 17 years of ongoing war and the highest rate of civilian deaths to date this year. Think about that. As suicide attacks in Kabul leave 14 dead and 60 wounded. Yet again, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, all of these different countries that they're currently supposedly liberated are in absolute chaos. So why in the world would anyone allow them to continue to try to do the same thing in Syria, try to do the same thing in Iran, allow them to pressure any of the countries in the South to do the very same things, South America, I meant to say, Venezuela being a perfect example of their economic sanctions being an open act of war to destabilize the country for the very same reasons. These things have to be able to come into focus for everyone. Many of you in the chat no doubt know these things, but these are the things we need to share with people. Point to this country, point to Afghanistan, Iraq, and say, look, this is the result of U.S. interventionism. This is what happens when they go in and try to liberate a population. Even if their intentions are good, they're clearly not good at what they're trying to do. So let's give Syria a rest, but it's not going to happen because that's not really why they're there. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, and one that I like to touch on here and there, but should never be taken as a partisan debate or even understanding that this whole story, to a large degree, is being used to distract you, yet this is still important to point out for a few reasons, entitled Clapper, Obama was behind the whole thing. This story is very interesting to me in the concept that it seems like they're eating each other alive now, trying to bend this one way or the other, or possibly trying to avoid getting in trouble themselves, avoid prison time, which I kind of don't think is ever really going to happen. But actions like this kind of make it seem like something may happen. Somebody's going to get in trouble here with all that's been going on. Someone's going to be held accountable. Otherwise, I don't really understand why they would be throwing each other under the bus. But this is an interesting development, to say the least. However you want to take this. As always, look at this stuff beyond the left-right paradigm. Look at these things from a point of, you know, some clear eyes outside of it all. Has nothing to do with the left-right dynamic. Think of this as a oligarchy, an authoritarian government, and how they abuse their power to manipulate you in one way or another. This is an interesting development in general. So former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper apparently admitted in a CNN interview Saturday that former President Obama instigated the ongoing investigations into Donald Trump and those in his orbit, which is not really a shock. I would imagine most of us, to one degree or another, assumed that was probably the case. But now he openly said it, which doesn't mean we should trust him anyway. I just did a whole show about talking about how these people are career liars. So we should take this as likely as faulty as everything else he said. But simply saying this, I found to be pretty interesting. Speaking with CNN's Anderson Cooper, Clapper let slip, quote, "If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set up a whole sequence of events, which are still unfolding today, including Special Counsel Mueller's investigation." Now, that by itself, I would not say is representative of what the title says. But then he goes on to say, President Obama is responsible for that. It was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place. So that's his backward way of essentially throwing him under the bus. Everybody look, Obama started all of this, is basically what he says right there. There's much more to this article. I recommend you dive into it. As always, all of these will be in the show notes for you to critically analyze for yourself. Come to your own conclusions about what's going on here, regardless of what my opinion may be. Very interesting. This is really something interesting going on here where Clapper seemingly is now throwing Obama under the bus in regard to this entire story. And maybe that's just a way of diverting attention. Who ultimately knows? This story, I think, and I questioned whether or not I should even talk about this, because if no one ever gets in trouble for this, if no one ever sees any actual jail time for the crimes they very clearly committed, then it is a distraction. They just throw us one more little thing like this and we all go, oh my gosh, look at what he just said. And we all look over here while they go that way and do something else. That's the way this stuff works. But I think this is important, just this little tidbit, to demonstrate how these people operate and understand that this is how this went down, that ultimately a sitting president started this entire thing based on nothing, like we just talked about. And is that because he was supporting Hillary Clinton? Is that because, I mean, you could make a lot of assumptions in regard to all of this. Nonetheless, I found that to be relevant. So take it for what you will, dive into it yourself. But we ultimately need to understand that there is a larger oligarchy at play here that does not care about whatever party you think you associate with, as they try to bulk up the military-industrial complex and take your rights away and control you in every possible way. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from antiwar.com, and one that does really give some insight into the breaking down of the U.S. geopolitical control in general, entitled, "Europe Can No Longer Rely on U.S. to Impose World Order," warns Angela Merkel. That title is alarming in and of itself in many ways, which I'll get into in a second. So speaking at a news conference in Berlin, Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel warned that Europe can no longer rely on the United States to impose order worldwide, and that European nations need to be ready to take matters into their own hands. Why they think anyone needs to or has the right to impose order worldwide is beyond me. And I think that's part of this manipulation. It's like, oh, well, someone needs to take control. How about countries take control of themselves? When did anyone have the right to become the kind of policeman of the world and impose order on the world in any way, shape, or form? Self-deemed United States, you know, we are going to be the world policeman. It's an alarming thought that anyone thinks somebody has to fill that role. And I think that's part of the deception. Merkel did not elaborate on exactly what this order meant, but it comes in context in the context of recent polls showing German voters resistant to her desire to increase military spending. Go figure. I would argue that most general civilians don't want to see more military spending. It happens anyway, just like in the United States. Regardless of what we want, our military spending continues to increase under the guise of defense, even though it is predominantly offensive. It's both offensive and offensive. This suggests Merkel is trying to sell increased armaments in a way to intervene regionally. Merkel also said she intends to continue to work on improving Germany's relationship with the United States. This appears to be an uphill battle with the two nations at odds currently over a number of issues, but she insisted ties are crucial, which I would argue that's more of a political cover. We have to wait and see how this plays out, but clearly there's stuff going on between the two of them. Just last week, President Donald Trump said he has a big problem with Germany, and the U.S. was threatening to sanction German companies for investing in a Russian energy pipeline. Trump expressed particular anger at the pipeline, saying it means Germany is effectively captive by Russia. Now, that entire statement was taken wildly out of context by both sides. He clearly was implying that they are captive in regard to their energy, which is kind of true. Most of Europe gets their energy predominantly from Russia. So in a way, they're captive in that regard. Not that they're controlled by Russia, not that Russia is you know, ultimately politically in charge of Germany, which is what the left was trying to say he was implying. And it's all over the map. As usual, the mainstream media is effectively and aggressively misleading you on what they want you to think to progress their agenda, which is always the case. Now, in practice, this pipeline issue is more about the U.S. wanting to increase LNG exports to Europe than being worried about Russia actually increasing trade ties there, which is something we've talked about in the past. Always the cover. Where U.S. and European interests don't align, however, it seems to fuel tensions, and that is liable to mean Merkel faces an uphill battle in improving relations. This energy pipeline in general is something that I think is... It makes sense to say that, look, the United States is spending all this money via NATO to supposedly protect you against some phantom Russian aggression, which doesn't exist, ultimately. And then say, well, but then you're turning around and spending all this money and working with Russia in regard to energy. There is some logic there, but it's all based on this idea that they need to protect them in the first place from Russian aggression. It's a self-imposed problem. There's no need to protect anyone from Russian aggression. And not to say it doesn't exist, but there's nothing happening that necessitates protection in general. That's a fact. There's no evidence on the table to suggest that Russia is actively trying to invade Germany or anywhere around there. It's just simply not the case. Doesn't mean it's not possible or that it might not be planned, but it's not happening. So ultimately, that is a faulty argument. And then you can say, oh, well, you need to take energy for that benefits the U.S. and not Russia. That's what it comes down to. All manipulation. But this concept that in some way Europe is disconnecting their relationship with the United States in regard to them being the world power in enforcing world peace, which is the opposite of what they actually do, gives you some insight into what's really going on the world stage. There's a lot going on, a lot that we're not seeing as we're divided amongst ourselves and screaming about Russia or screaming about the deep state, which are genuine concerns to have, but not at the expense of everything else going on. And that is the entire point. As we look everywhere else, the real news happens all around us every day in your name with your tax dollars. So we need to stand back and stop being distracted by what they're telling you. That little puppet show and their tabloid news they push at you every day is designed to keep you ignoring all of this stuff that I try to show you every day. So get this out there, talk to people, share this information, whether it's sharing this video or simply just talking about it with them yourselves. Sit down and have a civil conversation about what you think is actually important in the world. You'd be surprised how you can really reach someone with a level-headed, calm discussion. Even if you disagree, you're still planting that seed. You didn't know what was going on in Syria? You didn't hear about the white helmets? It's very interesting. Let's talk about it. What do you think? What'd you hear? Compare information. Share that. Plant the seed. Get it out there. That is the first step every day, is taking that moment to enlighten someone on something they may not otherwise have been confronted with. That is the first step in this battle. And until we can really get everybody involved and aware, at least to some degree, that they're being lied to, it's a hugely uphill battle. It always will be. But we got to try. So I appreciate you all tuning in today. I wanted to just get all this out there. I felt most of this, especially the white helmets in Israel and what's going on there, is a very important story to get out today, breaking today. So I really wanted to share that with you today. And I'm going to go spend the rest of my day and try to take some time off for myself. Make sure you check out our Patreon page, /TLA Vagabond. Even a dollar a day goes a tremendous long way in helping me continue to do this. If you like what I'm doing, if you appreciate my efforts to share this information and ask you to think for yourself, in any way you can help, I appreciate it. Simply sharing this video and discussing this topic is all that I really ask. Get it out there. So I love you all. I appreciate you all. Share the information. And as always, check out the show notes below for all the independent sources and question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.